Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read the whole chapter. We're doing a study in the book of Genesis, the first book. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was so severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. May the Lord give us understanding and be blessed through his word today. Amen. Let's open word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank each and every one that's come out. We thank you for stirring us up to come, to do the right thing, to worship you, to assemble together as you've commanded us to do. And we pray we wouldn't be distracted, and we would learn something from this message that we have prepared for each and every one of us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you know that I'm doing an overview. Welcome back, Audrey, by the way. In the book of Genesis, an overview Bible study. And today we'll continue to learn about the life of Abram. In Genesis 12, 1 and 3, we read that God confirms his unconditional covenant with Abraham, his agreement that he made with Abraham with no strings attached, called the Abrahamic covenant. Remember that? We learned last week that after God called Abram, because he became Abraham later on, Abram, that was his initial name originally, God told him to go to the promised land. And because Abram believed God and his promises, he left his home in the heathen country of Babylon. He departed with his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and entourage, taking them with them and all their worldly goods and everything that they owned. They arrived in Haran, which is now part of Turkey, modern-day Turkey, where his father Terah died. I think he was about 205 years old. Then shortly after Abraham and company, they traveled to the land of promise that God told them to go to, Canaan. Again, God confirms his unconditional covenant, called the Abrahamic covenant, with him in verse 7. And he went to the land of promise. And the promise was that he would give his descendants, Abraham's descendants, that land. And they're in the land now. Amen? They're there. So that promise was fulfilled. Now, when Abraham arrived in a place called Bethel, he built an altar to the Lord. This is where he worshipped the Lord God. Bethel means a holy place. And while he was there, it says that Abram, he called upon the name of the Lord. Is that what you do? Do you call upon the name of the Lord? Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord to save your soul? It's not too late until it's too late. When you leave this world, then it's too late. You've got to call upon the name of the Lord in this life if you want to go to heaven. Now this, for those who call upon the name of the Lord, verse is also in Romans in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now this promise still applies from God to us today and to every person in every generation who's ever been born. For those who call upon the name of the Lord can be saved from their sins and wouldn't have to be separated from God for all eternity by believing faith in the one who died for them. Whether they believe it or not, Jesus died for every single person who's ever been born. But then he rose again from the dead. Amen? He is alive. He rose again. Do you believe that? Whether you believe it or not, he did it. Amen? He did it. We didn't see it, but we believe it by faith. Amen? Faith is not seeing, is believing. Faith is believing what you don't see. All right? Okay. So we're told that Abraham and co, they continued on to the Negev. Now, the Negev is an area, part of Canaan. It was occupied by the Canaanites at that time, and he pitched his tent. We're not talking about a little pup tent, by the way. You know, a little one-man pup tent. No, no. This is a huge thing, like a house. But it wasn't meant to be permanent, you see. And he lived there with the Canaanites in peace. But after a while, they all had a big problem. People experienced in that area. What was it? We're told there was a famine. There was a famine in that area, but not just any old famine. It was a severe famine. So people were probably dying for lack of food, livestock, etc., etc. It says there in verse 10, there was a famine in the land. Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. All right. Now, this is a second example of Abraham messing up. We all mess up, don't we, from time to time, unless you're perfect, which I know you're not, because there's only one perfect and only one good enough, and that was Jesus, who was without sin. Amen. So we messed up again, like we all do. But this was a big boo-boo. This was a big boo-boo. He made the decision to leave Canaan, and he went down to Egypt. Now, the problem was that God never told him to go to Egypt. He told him to go to the land of Canaan, and he did. He was there for a while. And then he decided, because of the famine, we got to get out of this place. That reminds me of a good song by the Animals, but that's probably before your time. And then let's get out of here because, you know, we're going to die. Let's go down to Egypt because everyone knows they got plenty of food down there. So he decides to take off with his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and all the entourage, and you know, he was a rich man. He was a rich man, but then he would become even richer, as we'll soon find out, which we also read. So he packed up and he left and he went down to Egypt. Why did he go there? Because the circumstances looked really grim. And it was. The circumstances were very, very bad. His faith in God was tested. You ever feel like you've been tested by God? We will be. The question is, will we pass the test? He was tested by God to stay put. But then he decided to go down to Egypt. So what happened? He failed the test, yes? Instead of trusting God to take care of him and his family, his wife and his livestock, he looked at the problem of the famine instead of looking to God for help. Is that what we do? Sometimes we do. He made the wrong choice. He was trying to fix things himself instead of relying on God to protect him and to take care of him and to provide for all of his needs. Now, God has promised to take care of all of our needs. Do you believe that? There's not a person sitting here or listening to the sound of my voice that doesn't know that God has taken care of our needs. Amen? And we should thank him every day that he does that. So he made the wrong choice, like we do sometimes. We make wrong choices. Isn't that what we all do at times? When times get rough and difficult, and we don't know the outcome, and we don't know the future, we don't know what's going to happen, and we look at the circumstances, and we look at the problems that seem insurmountable and so difficult, instead of seeking God immediately, what do? We try to fix the problem ourselves, don't we? It's human nature. Without even consulting God about the situation, whatever it is, whatever the circumstances, we don't even bother asking him to help us, to guide us, and to give us wisdom to make the choices that he wants us to make. Amen? Yep. I know you're suffering under those masks. I, I'd be tempted just to pull it down so I could breathe through my nose. That's what I do, but it's entirely up to you. We know Abraham wasn't perfect. Nobody is, right? We've all messed up. He probably thought that he was doing the right thing by protecting his wife, by protecting all of his assets, because that's where the food was. Maybe the animals were dying off. And he said, enough is enough. I'm getting out of here. There's food in Egypt. Let's go. Without even consulting God about the situation. So he sets off for Egypt, him and his gang. That's where the food was. But that choice to go against God's plan for his life, it would backfire on him. It always does. It always does. Any choice that we make that goes against God's plan for our life will always backfire on us. Have you discovered that? I hope you don't have to experience that like some of us have. Don't go astray because you're going to suffer one way or another. And God will use any means whatsoever to get you back in his will. And some people are so stubborn that they prefer to suffer than follow God's plan for their life. Amen? All right, now. So being out of God's will, which he was, and not being guided by the Lord, he would soon find out that the big problem, the severe famine in Egypt, was nothing compared to the problem he was about to experience in Egypt. 11 and 13. And as he was about to enter Egypt, see, he comes up with this scheme. As he was about to enter Egypt, he wasn't there yet, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. That's always good, by the way, to say that to your wife. Because you can't lose. When you say that, or anybody really. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they're going to kill me, but they'll let you live. Say that you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Yeah. Was he living by faith here? So, whether he came up with this scheme before he left Canaan or before he arrived in Egypt, believing the Egyptians would kill him to get to Sarah, we don't know. We know that he did before he arrived in Egypt. But now it was too late to turn back. They'd already committed everything. They dismantled the tent, all the animals, all the families, all the servants, they were there. And they're just outside of Egypt, and it was too late to turn back. So he tells his wife to deceive the Egyptians to save his own neck by keeping the secret that she was his wife. Sure enough, he was right about one thing. The Egyptians knew beauty when they saw it. Genesis 12, 14 through 16. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was very beautiful. Not just beautiful, but very beautiful. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. Hey, king, you should see this lady that's come up with her brother Abraham. You wouldn't believe it. She will knock your socks off if he wore socks, which I doubt. She'll blow your sandals off. You get a look at this one, and you'd want to marry her immediately. So, okay. I'll get a glimpse of her. And he saw how beautiful, how very beautiful she was. He says, put her in the harem. Put her in the harem for later. So she was taken into his palace. And because of that, he treated Abram well. Not for his sake, but for her sake. Abram acquired sheep, cattle, male, female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. So the deception worked well for a while. We don't know how long. And they all kept it a secret. In fact, Abraham, we've just read, he did very well out of this deal, this deception. He was blessed materially by the Egyptians because of their admiration, not for him, but for his wife. And at that time, Sarai was probably about 65 years old. What? 65, that's old. Some of you are thinking that's old, right? No, it's not. When I was a teenager, I thought 20 was old. And now I'm, I think like 90's old. And when you're 90 years old, you don't think you're old at all. You're just the same person as you were when you were 20, really. So anyway, in those days, they used to live for hundreds of years. Now, being 65, that would make her like middle-aged, all right, in those days. It sounds old, but it wasn't. Back then, people used to live for hundreds of years, believe it or not, because the effects of sin hadn't really taken its toll then like it does now. So the average person will live, according to the Bible, maybe 70 years. 70 years and 10, maybe another 10 if you're lucky. But we know that people die at all ages, unfortunately. So you've got to be ready. You've got to make sure where you're going when you do go. Amen? Amen. So she was about 65 years old, middle-aged back then. She's not considered old, elderly. I prefer the word elderly to old. And she was astoundingly gorgeous. Have you ever seen any female that's astoundingly gorgeous? Yes, Billy's nodding his head. Haven't we all? Now try imagining a mixture of the most beautiful women ever to grace the silver screen. The most beautiful movie stars you've ever seen, starlets. And mix them together and that will give you an idea of what Sarai looked like. She was astoundingly gorgeous and stunning. And it's interesting to note, Jewish legend says that she was even more beautiful than Adam's wife, Eve, the first woman. Even more beautiful than Eve. And this is where we get the name woman from, because when Adam saw Eve, he went, wow, man. Okay. Is there anybody out there? Okay. So because the Egyptians believed this deception, this ruse, that she was single and be a possible future wife for Pharaoh, they put her in his harem. She became one of his concubines, and she would be pampered. Some of you ladies have had makeovers. I won't say any more than that. Some of you. And she would get the best possible treatments available. In fact, a lot of you ladies can't even go to the hairdressers because of this thing. But fortunately, some of you, they've started to open up the salons now, thankfully. You know, and various beauty treatments that they can get today that they probably didn't have back in the times of the Egyptians. You know, these plastic surgeries, you know, you can get nipped. You can get nipped. You can get tucked. You can get sucked. It's amazing what they can do today. And back then, they would pamper these beautiful ladies to prepare them to meet the king and possibly be married. The idea was that he would marry Sarah, the Sarai, eventually. And they would pamper her and prepare her with all the beauty treatments available to the Egyptians in that day. Which reminds me of an elderly lady I used to know. I didn't really, but it's a joke. And she had so much plastic surgery that before she died, she donated her body to Tupperware. Yeah, think about that. Plastic surgery. She donated her body to Tupperware. Okay, keep going. I'll explain it to you later. You've got to want to laugh, you know. If you don't, it's your choice. You get that one? Okay. So what happened while Abram and company lived in Egypt? Well, the Lord inflicted some serious diseases on Pharaoh and his family, it says. So Pharaoh knew that it's because of Abram and the deception. Why have you done this to me? There was some kind of plague, some kind of disease him and his family were experiencing. And why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's your sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here's your wife, take her and go. And then they packed up and left. So because Abraham's deceit, many people were afflicted by this disease, whatever it was, this plague. Some people probably even died. So God allowed this to happen so that the truth could come out. More often than not, it usually does. And God allows things to happen for a purpose. Whether he made this pandemic happen, but certainly you have to say that he has allowed it to happen. Amen? Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. And he does allow these things for a purpose, for his reasons. Amen? Maybe to get people's attention. Think about life and death. Think about what's important, not material things, but our health and our families. Amen? And our loved ones. So they try to cover up this deceit, but the truth came out, often does. Proverbs 28:13, it says this, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So we have to confess our sins and then renounce them. What's that called? Repentance. You know, we could confess them, but we keep on going against God's will, then we're still sinning. All right? So we haven't renounced them, have we? There's been no change. So we don't prosper and we don't find mercy. You know, like President Nixon back in the day, and he said, there'll be no whitewash in the White House. Remember that? It was a deception, wasn't it? He tried to deceive people, but the truth came out in the end. So God was not going to allow this deception for long. Because if Pharaoh would have married Sarai, she would not have had a son by Abraham in fulfillment of God's promise, where he said, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. So obviously it was wrong to deceive the Egyptians. But thankfully, God is gracious. He intervened in order to keep that unconditional agreement with Abram. Because of his stay in Egypt, he became a very, very rich man. But his lack of faith almost caused him to lose everything, even his wife. So let's wrap it up. let's conclude. What lessons, if you haven't already, can we learn from this true story? What lessons? Well, just a few that I came up with, and there's probably a lot more. It never pays to go our own way without consulting God on every issue. Whatever decision that we have to make, we should always ask God. All right? And seek His mind, what's best for us. And He always wants the best for us. Remember that. He always wants the best for us. Because He loves us. Okay? Number two, it never pays to go our own way without consulting God first. And it never pays to lie. It's always better to tell the truth, even though it may cost you something. It's always better to tell the truth. And it cost me. Have you got time? Shall I give it a little story? A personal story. Denise and I, when we came back from Papua New Guinea, we lived there as missionaries. And we didn't know. We came back to the States with our two children. I think we arrived in San Francisco Airport. Was it from the Philippines? Very, very long trip. You have to go through immigration in order to get in, where they stamp your passport or not. And Denise, I think you had American passports. I wasn't an American citizen. I had a British passport, but it was an open visa, visitor's visa. So Denise had an American passport. My son Luke and my daughter Melissa had American passports, but I didn't. So I was the last one to go through. We were supposed to be catching another plane to Massachusetts, and they'd already gone through. So I was stuck there with the immigration man. There's another good song by Graham Nash, by the way. But anyway, I was there with the immigration man. And he said to me, how long are you going to be in the States? Well, I had no idea. I had no idea. And I could have said, well, I'll be here for 3 months, or 6 months, or 6 weeks. I said that, and he would have stamped my thing, and, you know, you're allowed to stay to the end of that date, and then you're out. Or you apply for citizenship or a green card. I didn't know. So I said, I don't know. Next thing you know, they're taking me back to this room, separated from my family, because I told the truth. If I'd have said, I'm going to be here 6 months, he'd have stamped the passport with the date on it, and that's when I had to decide whether to stay or leave. So I was stuck there for being grilled by the immigration people for about an hour. And I said, you need to tell my wife where I am, because they're going to be worried about me. They're already gone to the next terminal to wait for the plane to bring them to Massachusetts. They didn't know where I was. And they said, yeah, we'll tell her. And they never did. They never did. They didn't have a clue where I was. So I think, fortunately, one of the immigration officers, he was a Christian, and I explained to her the situation, that we didn't know, we were waiting on God's will and directions, where what we were going to do, if we were going to stay in the States or if we were going to return back to Papua New Guinea. I had no idea. And the Lord worked things out so I could get through, and we managed to get on that plane by the grace of God. So that's a true story. And it's easier to tell a lie. That's the point, isn't it? It's always easier to tell a lie, but in the long run, it never pays. And we can learn from this true story of Abraham. All right? God doesn't want us to be deceitful and hide our sin. He wants us to confess it. God will always have His way, He will always have the last word. Now, this part of Abraham's life, and I'm definitely going to finish eventually, it teaches us that God's people in any generation should trust him completely, not resort like he did to self-directed schemes that go against his will for our life. God has a plan for our life. Remember what was that silly show back in the Irish lady? What was that show? God has a wonderful plan for your life. Touched by an angel, yes. And she used to say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. There's no mention of Jesus, but he does. God does have a wonderful plan for our life. And it's our choice to go his way or our way. So what happened? Abraham jeopardized the agreement that God had made with him. He took his trip down to Egypt. But through it all, he learned a good lesson that he would never forget. And this applies to us. The Bible is very practical. I tried to come up with a practical message. There's no point just giving you information unless we use this information practically in our everyday life. Amen? He learned a good lesson that he'll never forget. Even though he failed the test, he was able to take it again and move on in faith. And hopefully we can learn from our mistakes and move on in faith. Now let me close with this. A quote from a very wise man. And I won't mention his name. He was a pastor, by the way. And deceased. He said, faith is not a mushroom that grows overnight in damp soil. That's what mushrooms do, if you know anything about mushrooms. Faith is not a mushroom that grows overnight in damp soil. It is an oak tree that grows strong for many years under the blast of the wind and the rain. Did you hear that? Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for the time that we've spent together, and hopefully we can learn from Abram's mistake. Hopefully we can learn from our own mistakes and learn to trust you and not do our own thing, because we will suffer the consequences of the choices that we make if it goes against your will. So let's use what we've learned today and move on in faith, trusting you and never making any decisions without consulting you first. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Also, there's people listening to this message, wherever you may be. Have you ever placed your faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he loved you, that he died for you on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again? Do you believe that? If you do, remember God's promise to you that if you call upon the name of Jesus to save you, then he will, if you want to obtain peace on earth and a home in heaven. Make the right choice for your own sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.